deadly riots in Charlottesville, Virginia, are proof that America is deeply divided. Learn what America's greatest president once said about solving the problem of division and how the nation can apply his wisdom today. See the dark spiritual force behind America's sudden decline and understand how God will intervene to save the country from annihilation. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The violence and rioting in Charlottesville, Virginia, has gotten worldwide attention. And there was one lady killed and about 20 others wounded. And anybody in the world practically can look at America and see that this nation is deeply divided. Deeply divided. And that in itself is a grave danger. But there is an invisible danger, far greater than that, that people do not see. But I'd like to talk to you first about the division in the country, that danger, and then we'll look at the one that people cannot see, the first one they can see. Before his presidency, before Mr. Lincoln was even in office, he made a speech. He saw some very troubling times coming upon the land. And he gave a speech titled, "A House Divided Against Itself Cannot Stand." He was actually quoting Jesus Christ, who had the Bible canonized in a way that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three gospel messages in the Bible, each one of them had talked about the house divided against itself, and that it couldn't stand. It would not stand. And so Mr. Lincoln was trying to show America the great peril that was lying ahead if they didn't learn some lessons. And of course, they didn't, but William Herndon, the law partner of Abraham Lincoln, said he thought that speech made it possible for him to win the presidency. Abraham Lincoln said this, "Before the Civil War, in my opinion, division, they had division in several major issues, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand." So, he made a prophecy, really, on the basis of Christ's words and said, look, it's going to take a crisis for us to learn this lesson. And it was even greater, I think, than he thought it would be because it ended up killing Americans. And do we see the danger in how bitterly we are divided today in America? Do we see the real danger of all this? Do we have to experience another civil war, which would be probably about 10,000 times worse? And what is going to happen to this land then? What is going to happen? We need to know how to solve this crisis. Now, Abraham Lincoln really did, because he looked into the Word of God and he knew how to solve the problem. And he applied what he knew about the Bible. Notice Matthew, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Many people are causing problems in this land and I believe that they're bringing down our president, but are they instead bringing down America? That's the problem we need to be concerned about, because if you look at the Republicans and the Democrats, they're divided like no time ever on this earth. So what is the solution? True Christians follow Jesus Christ, and those are his words that Mr. Lincoln quoted. Now let's take a look at Mark 3 in verses 24 and 25. "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." God keeps emphasizing this. He states it one time and then repeats it two more times. If you have a divided nation, it cannot stand. No doubt about it, no question about it, it won't stand. That's what this is all about. Then in Luke 11 and verse 17, it says this, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls." Here's a man that knew their thoughts. This is not a normal human being that looked into the minds of those people, and he knew their thoughts. This was God in the flesh. And now he prophesies to all of us over and over and over that a house divided against itself cannot stand. It cannot. And he said then, just before the Civil War, here's what Mr. Lincoln said, "Here we are on the brink of destruction, and yet we have people going around and telling lies that you couldn't even impose upon a child ordinarily." Well, is it that way today? This was just before the Civil War. Look around at what people are saying in America. Why, it's something that even you couldn't even impose on a child ordinarily. Is that America today? I tell you, it's worse. We have to solve this problem. Mr. Lincoln went on to say, "We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven." He went on to say that we didn't toil to make this nation great, though we vainly believe that. And we have a book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, that will prove that to you and prove to you how we were giving these blessings and why. But here's what he said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation ever has grown, but we have forgotten God." Here is the President of the United States telling the people of America that we have forgotten God. Is that true today? Oh, surely a hundredfold more. We have forgotten God. Yes, we have. And he was talking to all the religious people. And so am I. And so is Christ inspiring this message that is right out of his Bible. Another quote, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts and that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." It says it's not true. It isn't true. And yet you know we think that. That's what people say repeatedly and often in the U.S. You'd better realize where those blessings came from and where they will can be taken from you, from all of us, and how God will do that. Mr. Lincoln continued, "We're too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins." Well, how about that coming from a president? We have to confess our national sins. Do you think America's going to do that? Well, this is getting at the solution to our problem, and there is no other. There is no other. He goes on to say, "and to pray for clemency, for forgiveness." Well, how about that? Do you think our people are going to be praying for forgiveness? All of them. For forgiveness for our national sins. And we've all sinned. Now, here's an interesting story about Abraham Lincoln that's true. Right after a terrible loss at Chancellorsville and Fredericksburg, he knew they could lose the Civil War very quickly. And he got out on his knees after he went into his room and locked the door, and he prayed to God. And he said, according to one of his biographers, Wayne Whipple, quote, "If you give us victory," talking to God, "I will stand by you. I will take a stand for you every opportunity that I have." End of quote. And it's interesting because the tide of war changed right after Gettysburg. And this prayer was made just before the Battle of Gettysburg that he knew was coming. And the tide of war changed because God answered that prayer. He answered the prayer. And notice what Congress did. Both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, asking the President to have a day of fasting and prayer that God might heal the nation. You think our Congress and we'll do that today? Go before God and ask Him to heal the nation? That's the solution. But are we willing to do that? It's hard to imagine that happening today, but this happened in our own history during a civil war that very nearly divided this nation into two smaller nations. And certainly it would not have been the power that has been in this world. Lincoln said, "We need to humble ourselves before Him and pray for His mercy, to pray that we may be spared further punishment, though most justly deserved." He was saying to us, look, we're being punished in the Civil War by God Himself. We're being punished by God and deserve it. Wow. Well, sounds like a prophet of the Bible almost. It really does. He said, let's think about a new cause of revering God and applying the justice of God in our land. How many people are really looking for the justice of God? They may think they have that, they know what that justice is, but that's the only healing that's going to come to us, and we have to do what these people did. Here's what Lincoln stated, "Unless the great God who assisted President Washington shall be with me and aid me, I must fail. And if the same omniscient mind of an almighty arm that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail. Let us pray that God of our fathers may not forsake us now." Now, he believed that God would forsake them, would forsake Americans at that time, because the Bible is full of examples of where God did forsake Israel, and we are descendants from Israel of ancient times. Have we forsaken God? Has God forsaken us? There is a scripture in Ezekiel 5 and verse 8 that says, even I am against you. And you know, even God is against you. How can we possibly win? How can we possibly solve our problems? You can write for the Ezekiel book, and that will be explained to you. That's directed specifically to Britain and America. And we can prove that to you in our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But I said before, there is an invisible problem that we do not see that is much, much greater. Even if you look, and I'll just paraphrase some of this, but if you look at this, a nation divided against itself cannot stand, and see the context, it's actually about Christ casting out some demons. Now, do you believe in demons? Well, Christ went around casting out demons repeatedly. He knew there were demons, but many people today don't know that, and they're not trying to help America, you can be sure of that, or Britain, or the Jewish nation in the Middle East, those birthright nations and the scepter nation. Oh, no, they're not being helped at all, quite the contrary. But then verse 22 of Matthew 12 says this, "Then was brought into him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw people. And all the people were amazed." Well, I would think so. "And said, is not this a son of David?" But verse 24, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, well, this fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils," or Satan the devil. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how shall then his kingdom stand? See, this is the same verse I read to you before, and now it's in the context of Christ casting out demons and saying in verse 28, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you, or the leader of the kingdom of God very shortly. It came to these Jews and they didn't even know who he was, or better yet, some of them did know he came from God, but they wouldn't state it publicly. And many of them, there certainly were many of the leaders that knew, but still rebelled, if you can imagine that. Verse 34, O generation of vipers! O generation of vipers! How can you, being evil, speak good things? Well now, this is all a type of what's going to happen in this end time. And there are many scriptures that point that out to you. And then when he said in verse 43, and then when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, well, I will return into my house, possessing this person from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. And then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Wicked people, they're going to have all kinds of demon problems. Invisible demons with more power than men have. So how are we ever going to solve our problems if we don't have the power of God to overcome this more or much greater power than we have? And all of that, again, is a type of what's coming upon this world in the end time. Look, if you, when we look at Charlottesville, we know that that is a serious problem, much bigger than what we think it is, because it's a sign of what we're going to see a lot more of if we don't learn the what I'm talking about today from your Bible, from the very Word of God. Verses 43 and 45 talks about the evil spirits that are behind the scene of this wicked generation. And we've got a bigger problem in this end time, far greater than ever before. And I want to talk to you about that. But we have a booklet on America Under Attack that also you need to read. And we'll be happy to send that to you. And it'll show you this invisible evil power that's just doing devastating things to America and Britain and the Jewish nation in the Middle East. The three of them. And God is doing it for a reason. He does forsake us if we forsake Him. That's the point that Christ was making. So the real power behind all of this then is the demons. It's just the demons. Now, how many people believe in Satan and the demons? And I'm talking about millions of demons. And where are they now? Would you believe if I told you from the Scriptures that they're here, all they're here on this earth and no place else? They've been kicked out of the rest of the universe. And now they're confined to this earth. And what kind of a devastation is that going to cause? Satan works through moods and attitudes and bad attitudes and feelings and emotions. Oh, can he really use people that get so stirred up emotionally at these riots and want to kill each other or harm each other? And that's not going to get better until we learn a massive lesson. Verse 7, then there was war in heaven. That's just recently happened. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. God just kicked them all out of heaven. And heaven began to rejoice because they were gone. But now they're all confined to this earth. This earth. What kind of devastation is that going to cause this world, America and Britain and the Jewish nation, first of all? God is really upset with those three nations because of their history with God and the blessings, that special blessings that God has given them. He's going to teach them a lesson the hard way first, unless they do some deep repenting and do what Abraham Lincoln said that they had to do. Many scoff, you see, at when you talk about demons, but this earth is just literally infested with them today, more than any time on this earth. This is the last hour. And then it says in verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time." He knows. He knows now that he has a very short time, because he's been cast to this earth. He's aware of these prophecies. God cast him out, cast him to this earth to teach us a lesson and to punish us for our sins. But we can, but just in a short time he's going to be gone, because it happens just before Jesus Christ returns to this earth and brings us joy, happiness, and abundance, and every good thing there ever was. Why don't we want it now? Why must we be punished so severely before we learn? Like Abraham Lincoln said, it's going to take a crisis before God gets your attention. It's going to take a crisis of crises in this end time to get our attention, if we don't wake up. So says your Bible. Those are not my words. They're right out of your Bible. And I'm reading from the New Testament today. Everybody in Christianity, I think, accepts that, accepts the New Testament. But do they really believe Christ? Well, you'd better look closely at that and answer it for yourself. Verse 14, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." God's going to protect his people that do repent of their national sins and all other sins. And he's going to protect them. He'd protect everybody if they'd let him, but they won't repent. And it goes on to say that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, or 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. You see, the context of all these verses is around demons. Demons that Christ just casted out continually. And now we're just infested with demons in this end time, in this last hour. That's what your Bible says. And yet God wants to protect us. He wants to protect us. The Charlottesville violence is an example that we need to learn from, because Satan works in the hate of any people. God says we're to love even our enemies, but we hate our enemies, and we hate our friends if they don't think the way we do, and we get rid of them. And people have uncontrollable emotions. That's how Satan works on them. He works on those moods and feelings and emotions. And we need God's power. You ought to read perhaps Gary Will's book on Lincoln at Gettysburg. And I tell you, when these householders went out to just plant and try to grow some food, there were arms and legs and even heads in some places protruding from the ground because of all of those. Well, there were 48,000 soldiers killed just in 3 days. It was just a massive grave. And some of them weren't even buried, or slightly buried. And that's the kind of picture you had. Now, You see, that's the kind of crisis that Abraham Lincoln was trying to alert the people to. Well, we don't have to do that. We don't have to experience that. And we don't in this end time either. We don't have to experience it. That's an acutely painful way to learn a lesson. It's just a way we should not have to learn it. And God says, I want you to learn from your past history. And more importantly than that, I want you to learn from what Christ says, and He will bring you peace and joy and happiness as you've never seen it before. Until next week, this is Gerald Furry. Goodbye, friends.
There is a disturbing reason why America has declined so drastically in recent years. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, America Under Attack, to learn how Satan destroys organizations, churches, and nations from within and from the very top. Just as Satan wrecked God's church in this end time, he is now undermining the greatest nation in history. Have you ever wondered why the law of the land in America today has been trampled? The cause is spiritual in nature and far more sinister than you may realize. Request America Under Attack to uncover the invisible yet lethal cause of America's impending collapse. Learn the only possible solution to this gigantic problem. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Ezekiel recorded perhaps the most alarming prophecy in the entire Bible. While America is trembling under the weight of massive problems like terrorism, race riots, and rampant lawlessness, God's church is spiritually asleep. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, to understand the alarming accuracy of Ezekiel's sobering message. In striking detail, he proclaimed that America and God's church are headed for the worst crisis ever known. Despite the bad news, Ezekiel's account is one of tremendous hope. Request Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, to discover how America's suffering is just a small step in God's master plan to establish His wonderful kingdom on the earth. You'll also receive our free reprint article, Mystery of Angels and Evil Spirits. Though many people scoff, Satan and his demons do exist. Learn how these immortal spirit beings, created perfect by God, turn to perversion and evil. Understand who their main targets are today. Also request Gerald Fleury's Key of David program transcript, Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln knew that the only way to avoid national disaster was by turning to God in fasting and prayer. Request a transcript of Thanksgiving to understand why America today must heed that wise advice. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request America Under Attack, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, Mystery of Angels and Evil Spirits, and Thanksgiving. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.